This is Food for Thought. Call Carol at 866-823-1077. And now, it's Food for Thought.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Food for Thought with Carol and Mike. It is a summer day out there. It's not very clear, but we're here. You're listening to Food for Thought. We're on the Pulse 107.7. You can also stream us live on the World Wide Web at WTPLFM.com, and it is powered by the Granite State Dairy Promotion. And this is our food show, so we're going to talk about food.
Get out. Oh, for a change.
For a change.
Well, I'm looking forward to the reunion with Donna and you.
I know. I'm excited. I'm excited.
Donna's Delights, as you know, is a character. Lives in Delaware, joins us every Wednesday, and she actually came and visited you and Daryl last week.
She did.
Unfortunately, I was away. That was not by design, folks. I really wanted to see and meet Donna, but so she's on the air. So
she'll be here at 1 o'clock.
Sent you flowers, which was very
she
sweet.
Sent me these beautiful flowers. They are gorgeous, and I have them right here in the studio. I sent her a picture so she'd see them. So, yeah, very nice. Very nice.
Why does she now? Here's what I need to ask her: is why does everything Keen, K-E-E-N, with her? Does that just mean cool, or I'm down with
that?
There's
a certain way you do it, Mike.
Okay.
All right, with the hand. Listeners can't see, but you have to put your hand up.
Okay.
And then you go Keen with these two fingers.
Oh, it's almost like
Keen.
It's almost like the two middle fingers go down. So
yes, they go down.
It's almost like the rock and roll.
Kind of like I Love You sign, but
yeah.
not quite all the way down.
Okay.
But Keen, right. And that's how you do it.
I still need to get the explanation, because I've not seen that anywhere around these parts.
And if you're connected with her on Facebook, you'll see her friends when they answer her back. They end it with Keen.
Yeah.
So anyway, I'm not sure, but we can ask her that. That's a good question.
Indeed.
But speaking of food,
yes.
I made this last night.
Is that the succotash?
I did forget to bring you some. I'm sorry.
Do I need to text you in the morning at 7 o'clock?
Yes, you do, and you should. When you think about it, say, Carol, bring my food, because I have plenty of this.
Yeah, so is that the succotash from the Food Network recipe page?
It is, and I will tell you, it is so good. It was so easy to make.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I don't have the recipe with me.
Yeah, I gave it to Barb yesterday, and she seemed very excited about that.
Very, very good, very easy. There's lima beans, green beans, red onion, corn, cherry tomatoes halved. I put some garlic in it and jalapeno, and I also put poblanos in there.
You did?
I did.
Did it call for poblanos?
It didn't, but I added it. It did call for a jalapeno.
Okay.
I'm trying to think of what else.
Did you mention lima beans, too?
Lima beans. I boiled the lima beans and the green beans for about 3 to 5 minutes. That's what it said to do. And then cut them in small pieces. And, because I made two things. I made that banging shrimp from Skinny Taste.
Mm-hmm.
So they both had different sauces. And I can't remember. This one, I can't say. I don't remember. But it is on the Food for Thought NH.com website and our Food for Thought recipes, which brings you straight over to Pinterest with all of our things. So I was taking pictures as I was making it.
Cool.
And
Keen.
There you go. But it's really good. Yeah.
And you eat it cold or?
You do. You eat it cold.
So did you use it as a side dish or was it kind of your meal?
No, I use it as a side dish because I also made that banging shrimp from the Skinny Taste, which that was amazing.
So what's the banging part of it?
Probably the sauce, which was, I do remember that one because it was the second one I made. That one was with light mayonnaise, sweet chili sauce, hot, sweet chili sauce.
Yep.
And, oh my gosh, what was the third thing? Sriracha.
Oh.
Sriracha.
And so it had some kick,
I used Mano Fuel.
Yeah.
And then when I sauteed the shrimp, you take your shrimp and you put them in a Ziploc bag because it said to put 2 teaspoons of cornstarch and shake it up. So you coat the shrimp and then olive oil in your pan, and I used from Celeste Oliva. I used the cayenne olive oil.
You were really kicking it up.
I was, and this is kicked up too. So yes, Daryl was dying last night.
Yeah.
It was funny. He was taking a few bites. He's like, "Whoa!" But he liked it. It was good.
Did you need your little menopause fan during that?
Nope. It was cool in the kitchen. Sorry. So, but yeah, it was easy. Just sauteed the shrimp up for three to five minutes and then toss it in that mixture and then put it over some romaine lettuce, Or no, iceberg lettuce with some red cabbage.
Okay.
And then we had a little bit of this on the side. It was really good.
Sounds awesome. You mentioned Skinny Taste, which is a cookbook that both you and June are absolutely just raving about.
Love
so
it.
I got in touch with Gina Homolka, who is the author, and I said, hey, look, we do this radio show in New Hampshire, and a couple of my radio partners have been just raving about your book. Can you come on the air with us? So I haven't heard back yet. She's working on another cookbook, and when I know that as an author, when you really get into it, you don't have as much time to do unnecessary things. So I'm hoping that we do hear back from her, but she says she gets a lot of emails. She reads it all but can't respond to it all.
Right.
So I said that you'd pay her $100 to come on the air. And
it's free publicity for her.
Of
we'll
course
talk
it
about
is.
Her cookbook. I bet you people will go out and buy it, I'm sure.
Well, if they haven't already, based on the fact that you and June have made wonderful dishes from it.
Michelle bought it, too.
Yeah.
You know, so. But anyway. So, what did you have for dinner last night?
What did I have for dinner last night? Oh, Barbara was away, so I went into the pantry to see what I had, and I said, I got some leftover cheese. I bought some bread in the North End from Bova's Bakery, which is just a wonderful place. Had some of that left over from our weekend sailing trip, and I had a couple of uncooked pieces of bacon. So I said, well, I'm going to get all these pieces, these little orphan pieces together and make myself a gourmet grilled cheese sandwich.
Nice.
Which I did, which I almost never use regular sliced bread. I always try to find something that's got a little texture to it and put more cheese on it than you need because I like when it drips out and then it gets crunchy. I bake it. I do not fry it. I bake it. And so I made two small sandwiches. One was with a kind of a spicy cheese, and the other a pepper jack, right? That's what it is.
Yeah.
And the other one was just plain old Swiss cheese. So what I didn't notice last night when I took that out is there was a little piece of crispy Swiss cheese that had kind of bubbled and got crunchy. And I've experimented with other types of cheeses because I have some ideas for other recipes I want to try. And it was the best of all the crunchy cheese pieces that I've ever pulled
Swiss.
Off.
Swiss.
Who would have known?
Never have thought that.
The flavor was so concentrated, and the crunch was just right. The danger with sometimes I've actually made full trays of just melted cheese so I could have crunches and crumbles. And if you don't watch it, it just starts to burn, and then it tastes awful.
Right.
But this was fabulous. So it may have been an accidental find on my part. So that's what I had, grilled cheese with bacon. In the toaster oven, a couple minutes on each side. And,
nice.
I tell you what, I was living large last night.
There's nothing like a good grilled cheese.
Seriously, really. It really is. And too many people make it on the stove with white bread, with American cheese, and that's just bad, bad, bad. Now, it's like saying that about Kraft macaroni and cheese. You grew up with it. You love it. So forgive me. I'm not a fan.
I'm with you.
But see, I would not have made that had Barb been home because, you know, she's also more diet conscious, as you are, and that would not have been something with all the carbs. She's also type 1 diabetic. You know, the carbs and the bread are not her friend. So I said, all right, I have to take advantage. She's also going to be away for a week, so I'm just going to be making.
You're going to be a bachelor.
Oh, I'm going to be bachelor for a week, and I'm just going to be making all the bad stuff that she would prefer I not make. You know, not that it's good for anybody necessarily, but that's the game plan.
Cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. Did you hear about Jared from Subway?
I did. So Jared, of course, the spokesperson all those years for Subway subs. The police raided his home in Indiana yesterday morning before dawn, kind of just swept in there, took away a lot of computers. He's not being accused of anything at this point, but there was somebody that was running his charitable organization that he fired a couple months ago that had been involved with child pornography online. So all that stuff was still apparently on the computers at Jared's home. So they need to decide whether or not Jared had any part of that. Right. And it doesn't look good that, you know, when he threw the guy out, that he just didn't get rid of all the computers and be done with it. So, again, they brought him out of the house, and he was cooperating. He and Subway have, at this point, kind of suspended their relationship, which I think is
still
really smart
investigation
on Subway's part. I'm really, really hoping that he is not found to have any connection, but he was just careless and didn't wipe all that stuff out or get rid of it, or, you know, because the guy was proven to not him, but the guy that ran his charitable foundation involved with really nasty child pornography. So I'm hoping that Jared, you know, was not. And I guess only time will tell. He lived in a really nice-looking house in a pretty good Indiana neighborhood. So it's over for him if he's proven to be. And then, of course, you know, sort of on a related note, the Bill Cosby news of the last couple of years.
That's awful.
The court papers that where he actually admitted that he used Quaaludes to entice women to have sex with him. So all these icons and people that, you know, always had these great images, it really is disappointing. And I'm, you know, I know you've all thought about this, so just my take on it. It's disappointing.
It's disappointing. That's exactly what it is. You think that the person is something and they're not.
And today, it's even harder for anybody to so-called get away with anything because there's cameras everywhere, social media. So just makes me realize you just got to stay squeaky clean in your life, because if not, somebody's going to find something someday to bring you down. Because there'll be one person out there that doesn't like you, and that's it.
Yeah.
So we'll keep an eye on the Jordan. I did meet him a couple years ago. He was actually appearing at the Steven Singer, Gail Singer Memorial Blood Drive at the Radisson, which is the biggest blood drive in the state. In fact, it's coming up next month. And they brought him in just to help put Subway sandwiches together and meet and greet everybody. And, you know, just like on TV, nice guy. If you want a couple minutes with him, he'll give it to you. He was making sandwiches, bringing in waiting tables and stuff. So,
nice.
Yeah, I thought so. And I met Bill Cosby, too, about the time that document was signed. I looked at 2005. Well, that's when I met him. I'm kind of wondering. And you know what?
Isn't that kind of creepy?
Even creepier is I brought my daughter, who at the time was 25, to meet him because she grew up on The Cosby Show. And I thought, well, nice opportunity. So I brought her along. This is backstage before anybody was there. It was just the three of us. And she said, Dad, I was getting creepy vibes. I mean, she told me this years ago. And I've actually never admitted that publicly on the air before, nor in my book, because it just said, well, okay, I get that. But now it can be
said. Now it makes sense.
And there was nothing I saw that was inappropriate, but, you know, women pick that up, right?
You get these feelings. Totally.
So,
totally.
I'm wondering, I should talk to her to see, you know, what her thoughts are. In the last several months, since all the news and all the women have come forward, and now
where she said that years ago.
Yeah,
oh my
said that before any of it ever came to light.
Wow.
And the one woman that I saw interviewed, is from Wyndham, and she was a secretary for a booking agency in 1965 in California, and told her story of even way back then of having been drugged. And she got out, I think, before anything happened, but it was an unpleasant experience.
And isn't his wife still standing by his side?
She is. Yeah, Camille is so far, and I think most of his family is, but, you know, what are you going to do? He's got to face her. That's the worst part of it all. He has to face his family.
Horrible. Just horrible. Well, I think we should take a break.
Oh, this is such a fun topic.
It is. Well, do you want to continue?
No, I think that's all that needs to be said at this point.
Well, let me just, there's a Granite State Brewers Association. They're having their Summerfest at Arms Park right here in Manchester on July 25th. It starts at noontime. And Michael Hopley Pierce will be on the show tomorrow talking about this event. It sounds like a really fun time. You can get VIP parking, VIP admission, designated driver admission.
I like that part.
Isn't that cool?
So what's this called again?
It's the Granite State Brewers Association Summerfest.
All right, so it's Saturday, the 25th.
Yep. It's an Arms Park. There's going to be a VIP hour, VIP parking, general admission, and designated driver tickets are also all available. You can get your tickets at brownpapertickets.com.
Nice.
So, yeah, that sounds like fun.
Yeah, and I love the fact that they're trying to encourage responsible drinking.
Exactly.
Because even with the best of intentions, sometimes if you're at a beer fest, you can get carried away, don't realize it.
Right.
Give the keys to somebody and let them get you home safely.
Yeah, that's
awesome. Well,
so yeah, Michael will talk a little bit more about it maybe tomorrow. Who's going to be there and what.
Love it.
Did I tell you I went, actually, after this, you know what, when we come back from break, I'm going to tell you I had visited one of his breweries, the breweries that had come on, Ebenezer. Were you here when Ebenezer was
here? Yes.
We went to that.
And?
Oh my gosh, wicked.
I'm going there Friday.
Are you really?
Yes.
That is so funny.
Yes.
Oh my gosh, listeners, you're listening to Food for Thought, 107.7 The Pulse. Stay tuned, we'll be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Welcome back. Food for Thought with Carol and Mike. It's summer. Summer Series Friday. We're going to start. We're going to be outside on the sidewalk here at the Beacon Building right at 814 Elm Street right in downtown Manchester. So come on by and say hi to us. You won't be able to miss us, I can tell you that.
And what about the prizes we'll have?
Oh, yes. We're going to have 4 NASCAR race tickets to give away.
For the Sunday races, which
is Sunday race.
The big one.
Exactly. So stay tuned and see how you may get some. So there we go. Yeah,
I was very pleased to see that we had been handed those tickets for, they're not cheap, and they're not easy to get, but Carol and I have them this coming Friday on Food for Thought, broadcasting live as we did on the night of the big taco tour.
Yeah, that was fun.
So I didn't check ahead to see what the temperatures are going
to
be.
It's supposed to be beautiful.
Oh, good.
It is supposed to be nice. Yes.
All right.
So,
from your lips to God's ears.
Well, hopefully.
So tell me, so you went to Ebenezer?
We did. We met one day. I think it was the first week you were, it was a couple weeks ago anyway. Mm-hmm. And we were meeting Michael Helpley-Pierce.
Yep.
And Daryl and him had to exchange something, tools.
Right.
Or,
they worked together, right?
They worked together at mm-hmm. RE Marble and Granite. Yes.
Okay.
And so we met at Ebenezer, and Daryl didn't tell me where we were going. We were like in Merrimack on Route 3, and I'm like, where are we going? So we pull up into the parking lot, and he says, this is Ebenezer. I go, Ebenezer Brewery? And I'm like, this is it? Like, have you ever been there yet?
I have not.
Well, when you pull up, you're going to say, this is Ebenezer Brewery? Like, really? You're going into like an office park.
Oh, okay.
And it looks like an office building. But
right.
When I was sitting there, we were waiting for him before we got out of the car. It's like these garage doors, and they go up, and they were all up, and then there was like a little patio out there with some chairs and nice sectioned off with nice flowers, looked really, really nice. And I'm like, wow, I'm like, this just didn't look right. Like, so when we went in, it is so cute, like really, really nice, nice bar, some tall tables, and there was quite a few people in there. It was a Saturday. Mm-hmm. It was Saturday around 1 o'clock, but they don't have food, just snacky things, chips and stuff like that. And he came in with, it's terrible that I don't remember, Birch Brewing?
Oh, yeah, from the guys from Hooksett.
The one that came in with him one other time.
Okay, I was not here that time.
Oh, gosh.
But I know who you mean.
I feel bad that I may not be saying it correctly, but he was with Michael, and he sat next to me, and he said, I got a sampler. It was 5 beers, 2-ounce pours or whatever they were.
Yeah.
And I'm not a big beer person,
right.
But he was so helpful. He's like, Carol, don't do this one first. They were like, the girls sit here and, do them order, that's how they're on the board and stuff like that. But he says, wait for this number 2 last because it's smoky. And he said, it's going to affect your palate. So I just listened to what he said. But I did have a favorite one, and it was kind of cool. It was neat sitting next to someone that's a beer person that knows his stuff. And, he's explaining the beer to me and how they make it and da-da-da. And so it was really interesting. It was cool.
Well, I'm going Friday. And the reason I'm actually going early before I come to the show, is Carl Soderberg is going to be my next subject on Reset 40 is the New Happy, which is a podcast that I do online for Manchester InkLink. I find people who basically have left secure jobs, in many cases good paying careers, as I did, because they just wanted to do something else. And in this particular case, Carl Soderberg, who was with us a couple weeks ago with Michael, was in the studio, is one of the founders.
Right.
And of Ebenezer. And I thought he had a really great story. It was basically just saying, hey, screw what I'm doing for a living. This is what makes me happy. This is what fills my soul and heart with joy. And so I'm finding people like that. I'm doing an interview podcast. They're 10 minutes long, and you can find it on ManchesterInkLink.com.
Cool.
It's called Reset, 40 is the New Happy. And it's all about people that are doing what they want to do, sometimes at a substantial pay cut, but eventually hoping that it will, put a little more food on the table. So he's my next guest, and I'll be going to the brewery. And I'm looking, now that you tell me this, it's in like a business park?
It is. It's like off of Route 3 you take, depending on which way you're coming, turn. And, like I said, I didn't know where exactly we were meeting him. So, we had just talked to him, and we were in the area or whatever. So he said, well, I'll just meet you there. And, Yeah, you pull up, and I was just like, what is Michael doing here? But it's really cute. And then on the end, you can kind of walk through the bar. Well, you can see a window, too, in back of the bar that's the brewery where they, do all their stuff. You see the big,
tanks.
Canisters or tanks or whatever you call them.
Right.
Big beer cans.
Fermenting tanks or whatever the word is.
And then they have a cute little store to buy things.
Oh, some swag?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was very nice.
Merch?
I was really impressed. It was nice. I didn't expect that. I really didn't.
They've only been open, I think, less than two years.
They just had their two-year anniversary.
Yeah, or their... Maybe it was their one-year anniversary.
No, it was their two-year.
It was two?
Yeah.
All right, so still, it's a new business.
Definitely. And there was a few people in there.
Yeah.
And, it was kind of cool. I was excited. Well, and they sell growlers, too.
Oh, they do, yes.
And people were coming and going, filling their growlers and leaving, so it was kind of
nice. Cool. Well, speaking of beer... According to a Money Talk News, which is a website, New Hampshire is the number two state for beer consumption. It's always been
that.
Either one or two.
I think it's been one.
It has been one.
Yeah.
But it's number two right now behind North Dakota. North Dakota now consumes more beer per capita, and I'm going to give you my theory on that. That's where all the fracking and all the oil drilling is being done. I mean, these huge towns have sprung up in the middle of the plains because there's this amazing reserve of oil, and a process called fracking is used to process it and extract it. And that's where so you figure it's probably 90% men working there. So all of a sudden, you have a huge population of men in a state that doesn't have a huge population.
Right.
So I'm going to guess that's why they're number one right now.
Okay, that makes sense.
Number two is New Hampshire, and Vermont checks in at number five. So if you notice, these are all mostly northern states that are huge beer-drinking states.
I'm kind of surprised at that, really. I remember reading the statistic up on Taste Buds, a few years back. And, I remember hearing that. I don't know. I'm surprised at that.
New Hampshire beer drinkers consume 42.2 gallons per person per year. That's almost a gallon a week of beer.
That's a lot of beer.
Yeah, I know. North Dakota, though, is a little ahead at 43.6. So we're about a gallon and a half shy of what they're drinking per capita. That's huge.
That is huge.
I don't know what the bottom states are, but I'll bet you there are places like Hawaii or states that probably have other things. All right, so here's the latest cool thing that I have run across. I love pizza.
I am a major pizza foodie.
Yes.
Major.
Well, listen to this.
Can't wait to hear this.
This is the coolest thing. The latest trend to take America by storm is pizza farms. I didn't know that pizza grew on trees. Well, it doesn't. These are not farms where saucy, cheesy pizza grows off the vine. Instead, it's a strange play on the farm-to-table movement that offers diners the chance to eat pizza on a farm. According to the Associated Press, the pizza farms, which are a form of agrotourism, are opening all over the country and are especially popular in Midwestern states like Wisconsin, which is a huge cheese-producing state, so that makes sense, and Minnesota, which is as well. Excuse me. So apparently there are farms, and they're looking to generate a little more income, and they're serving pizza right where the cheese is produced. I think it's brilliant. So how exactly does a pizza farm work? I'm reading the AP report here. The farms invite customers to picnic on certain nights, and while the guests typically have to bring utensils, plates, drinks, and throw out their own trash, the farm will whip up the pizzas. Typically, they are made in wood-fired ovens and topped with items grown on the farm.
That's cool.
While diners wait for their food, they can explore the farm and pet the horses. So it's a perfect thing to bring the kids out. The real advantage of the pizza farms, notes Consumerist, is that it provides typically small farms with additional income, as I was saying earlier. Andrew Bernhardt, a community food system specialist, explains why these so-called pizza farms are so successful. They're selling an experience by letting people come to the farm, and I think there are a lot of people out there hungry for this experience. I think it's brilliant. Who in New Hampshire is going to be the first to open a pizza farm experience? Doesn't mean that you're there every day, but it's for special occasions.
I know who would. Who? I bet you Carol Soul of Miles Smith Farm would do it.
I wonder if she's even heard about this.
I wonder.
Do they make cheese there? That's got to be, I think, one of the prerequisites.
I guess that's true.
I know that they do livestock.
They do, yeah, maybe they don't do, I don't know.
Vermont would certainly be a candidate for that because they have so many farms. I mean, yeah, there are some cheesemakers. There's not a huge number. And we could probably talk to Amy Hall about that. But I think it's a really cool idea.
Very
and
cool.
Somebody out there was thinking.
Well,
a nice family picnic night. If you get a vegetable topping on your pizza, well, not only did the cheese come from there, but so did
all
the stuff
toppings.
On top. And then go visit the farm animals while you wait for your
pretty
pizza
cool.
to be done. So I don't know if they deliver. So have some guy in a John Deere tractor coming up to your house. Well, it took 4.5 hours to get here. I'm not paying for this thing.
That's funny.
And I have a little bit more pizza news, but I will share that after we take a break. Right here on the Pulse, WTPL 107.7 Food for Thought. Carolyn, Mike, back after these.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Hi. New England Coffee is one of our sponsors, the official coffee of Food for Thought, newenglandcoffee.com. Also, Casey's Rib Shack, famous hickory-smoked award-winning Southern Pit Barbecue on 2nd Street in Manchester and online at ribshack.net. We don't have any pizza sponsors, right?
No.
We don't. Well,
we should get some. What is your favorite pizza?
Well, I would say, and I haven't been there in a couple of years, I love 900 Degrees.
Very good.
Here in Manchester. In fact, I make my own at home now with crust from scratch and not the sauce, but everything else. And I kind of patterned it. I said, I love the thin crust pizza. I don't have a wood-fired oven, which adds so much, but I got it down kind of. So I would say they're my favorite. And I love that there's a lot of little mom-and-pop stores still. Yes, there's the Pizza Huts and all those, but I try to go to the locally family-owned places.
Well, you know who else has a really good wood-fired pizza?
Who's that?
His Copper Door.
Oh, you know, I've never had a pizza there.
Delicious. You would love the... They have a chicken with caramelized onions and roasted poblanos.
That sounds awesome.
Oh, is it good.
With the chipotle margarita that
it's
I typically
so
order when
good.
I'm there?
Yeah.
Oh,
delicious. And
you...
they have a really good margarita pizza, too. That's the one I usually mostly get.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Yeah. I never had a margarita pizza till 900 Degrees. And so that's what we make at home now.
Yeah.
And it's not that hard to do.
And
fresh
basil
in the garden, just go pick it.
Right. And it's not that fattening. I mean, it's, you know.
For those that don't know what a margarita pizza is, it's got a little bit of sauce, of course. And then it's the mozzarella that you get in the balls, and you kind of slice it thin and just lay it kind of blotchy style all
like
over
little
the
circles.
Little
all
circles,
over.
Exactly, yeah. And it melts beautifully. And then after it comes out and the pizza cools a little bit, because I found this out the hard way, put on some basil leaves.
Yeah.
And I did that too soon, and they all turned brown the first time. So now I let it cool off a little bit and then put them on so they're still fresh looking.
Really good.
Yum, yum. All right, so back to pizza here for just a moment.
Mm-hmm.
Here to round out the hour because Donna's Delights.
I can't wait to talk to
Donna. In just a few moments. So we talked about pizza farms, which is a really cool concept.
Mm-hmm.
And I would expect before too long we'll see somebody in New Hampshire doing it. If they're not already, I'm not aware of any. I should check with Amy to see if anybody is. All right, so here is something that I think people in, well, especially the west side of Manchester will appreciate. The Wizards over at Pizza Hut have outdone themselves once again. Pizza Hut Canada has announced the arrival of the cheesy beef poutine pizza. Yes.
Are you kidding? With cheese curds.
Yes. A layered carb monstrosity that takes classic Canadian drunk food, as they call it, poutine, French fries topped with cheese curds, as you say, and slathered in gravy, and transforms it into a pizza with shaved seasoned steak and mozzarella. The Franken pizza is part of Pizza Hut's 5-pizza limited edition Something for Every Canadian menu, inspired by Canada's cultural diversity, and is available only in the Great White North, Old Canada. Other flavors include creamy buttered chicken, Asian barbecue, grilled chicken club, and smoky maple bacon. I'll take one of those, please.
What's the first one you said after the
creamy butter chicken?
Oh my gosh!
They think it may be Indian inspired, so maybe it's got some of those spices that you might find with Indian cuisine. So there you go. If you are going to Canada this summer and you are a huge fan, you know, Chez Vachon or wherever you go to get your poutine,
poutine,
poutine. Thank you, Carol. You've been around here a lot longer than I have, so I'll defer to your pronunciation on that. Well, I am too, but I never heard of that in Michigan. And there's a ton.
Really?
There's a ton of Canadians. I mean, I'm part Canadian. Yeah, Detroit is, it was. You know, it was kind of an entry point through Windsor to, and that's where all my relatives came from. So,
did you
anyway,
ever try Poutine around here, like at Chez Vachon?
I have to say I have not. It's not like I don't want to try it. I've just not been there.
You know what? B, that owns it. His name is B.
Yeah.
B would be a great guest.
Well, there's no reason why we should get to
get him.
Do you know him?
I do.
All right.
I do.
Put you in charge of arranging that.
I drive right by it almost every day to get home if I go home that way.
Okay.
And I'm going to stop by and see him. I mean, he's going to bring us some Poutine.
And
you're going
to
try it.
I absolutely can't wait.
Oh, my gosh.
To see what I've been missing all these years.
I will hook that up.
I will just load up on my Simvastatin medication before the day is done. So there's some pizza news for you that perhaps you hadn't heard about. The internet is filled with really interesting food stories that sometimes get picked up by the mainstream press. And that's why I call the internet every morning, Carol, before I come in, because there's so many interesting things that I feel that we can be the first to present to our listeners. If they can't get it from us, where are they going to get it? Save them the trouble of going online, because you end up on Facebook and then you end up surfing places you don't want to be. Leave that to me.
There you go. He'll come up with all the food news.
That's right. Then the FBI shows up at my house and steals my computers.
Oh, geez. No! Gosh. We're at the top of the hour. You're listening to Food for Thought, Carol and Mike. And stay tuned. We'll be right back with Donna's Delights.